Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the new marketing assistance for specialty crop producers. Now, I apologize for not getting this episode out sooner, but I was trying really hard to get someone from the FSA to come on and talk about it because I didn't want to give any misinformation. So that didn't end up happening between Christmas, New Year's. Obviously, government workers don't work on holidays, end of year vacations, and potentially there was talk about a government shutdown. So they were extremely busy the end of December and trying to get that all wrapped up. However, I did spend a lot of time talking to my FSA agent. He sent me some direct files. And so this episode does not replace anything that your FSA or USDA employee person, your rep from your county, from your area tells you. This is my disclaimer that this is my interpretation of what is happening. So take this with a grain of salt. If you question something or something that I say contradicts what you were told, then I would go with what you were told by someone that works at the USDA and gets a government paycheck. Okay. So we're going to dive into the USDA's Marketing Assistance for Specialty Crops or MASC program. You've seen it all over Facebook. People are like, is this legit? What is this? I filled out the form. I used my 2023 sales and it was over $99,000 that I ended up being able to report for 2023. My sales went up in 2024, but it was a lot of value added. And so it's not your gross sales, it's your sales of specific raw goods with nothing value added. So when I say, oh, I'm a six-figure flower farmer, my business grosses, you know, I made $170,000 that year or whatever, you can't just put that total gross dollar amount because anything you buy from the wholesaler, your containers, your vases, anything that's value added to the product, a $225 wedding bouquet, even if you grew everything, you can't say that that's a $225 sale. That ends up being probably somewhere around $80 worth of flowers. And if you supplemented a little bit of eucalyptus or a little bit of ruscus or something, now all of a sudden it's probably $60 worth of gross sales based on what you grew. So again, we're going to get into the weeds of that. But if you see conflicting numbers or if it seems confusing, that's why it is. So MASC is a program designed to provide financial assistance for producers facing higher costs due to perishability, labor, transport, and packaging. Eligible crops include fruits, vegetables, floriculture, nursery crops, herbs, and more. So why this matters is because specialty crops have unique challenges, such as the need for temperature-controlled transport, quick market turnaround, and MASC funding helps offset these challenges, empowering producers to stay competitive. Now, my interpretation is that, you know, things were coming up as the farm bill is ending and coming up for evaluation, blah, blah, blah. My thought is that lobbyists were saying, hey, not enough was done. And there is this excess of $2 billion dedicated to this program. So $2 billion is dedicated to this program. So we'll talk about it, you know, later on in the episode, how they're going to do the breakdown, what the payouts are. We don't know what the payouts are because they're going to wait and see, and it's going to be based on the gross total. So they have $2 billion to give out. Well, it depends how many people are qualified and apply for it. And then they'll decide, you know, if hardly anyone applies, the percentages are going to be higher. If tons of eligible people apply, the percentages are going to be lower. So it has to be producers in business at the time that you are applying, even if you have intent to sell in 2025. So established producers and new producers can apply. So for me, that means I got to choose between 2023, 2024, or my projections for 2025 of my gross sales of things that I actually grow. Nothing value added. So the example that my FSA guy gave me was that he and his wife have a strawberry patch, and they can count the price of the strawberries, but the stuff that they put in the freezer and then make jam out of, because she rents a commercial kitchen and sells jam, if she sells those for $10 a jar, but there's only $2 worth of strawberries in each jar, if they sell 1,000 of them and it's $10 a jar, that's $10,000. However, they can't report $10,000 more of strawberry sales in addition to everything that they do in the month of June. If there's only $2 worth of strawberries in each of those 1,000 jars, it's only $2,000. Same thing, like I said, with a bridal bouquet or something value added. Now, for me, I used my 2023 sales because it was market bouquets. It was $30 worth of flowers. That's what I sold. If you looked up on any wholesale sites, what the wholesale even, but really it's retail, value of a snapdragon is typically about $1.50 a stem, or dahlias, or whatever it might be. So I can prove that, hey, my $30 market bouquet, which is pretty much what I do, $30 worth of flowers, my subscriptions, and that's why I have a best-selling item to keep it easy, to keep it simple. And in 2023, that's what I created. It was always that was a $30 vessel, and I used a 6 cent paper cup. I didn't add on any prices there. There's no cost to the mason jar. There's no labor in arranging. It literally was a bundle of flowers, $30 worth of flowers, and that's what I sold. You arrange it yourself when you get home. Whether it's a you pick, it's a cup full of flowers, which is $30, or well, actually, it was $35 for my you picks because you get to put more flowers in there and it's unlimited. So in fact, I probably sold those flowers below market value. My subscriptions, $30 worth of flowers, whatever it might be, it's always $30 worth of flowers. And so I can prove that, hey, that's actual cost of my flowers. I can back that up. I have receipts. We'll talk about the bookkeeping piece in a minute. Whereas if I use my 2024 sales, my 2024 sales are higher than my 2023 sales. However, there was a lot of value added. So a $225 wedding bouquet, if I do three times the cost of materials plus 25% per labor, because there is industry standard, it takes a good hour and a half to 2 hours to really make that bridal bouquet shine, the labor that goes into ordering the flowers, blah, 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 blah. Now, also, additionally, with those, I typically supplement with wholesale because, as much as I would love to have 100% locally grown, the brides that I hear from, that's not as important to them as the overall look. They want it to be as local as possible, but they still want it to look a certain way. And oftentimes that has to be achieved with eucalyptus from a wholesaler or a few roses from a wholesaler or something like that. Because as much as they say they care about locally grown flowers, they want it mostly locally grown, right? There's the 80-20 rule, 80% of the time do really good. But ultimately, what that bride really cares about is that her flowers look the way she expects them to look. And I cannot always achieve that by just locally grown flowers. If a bride's getting married in July in Minnesota, I no longer have peonies and tulips. It's too early for Lysianthus typically. It's too early for dahlias. But I'll try to use what I have growing and then we'll supplement it with something wholesale, whatever that ends up looking like. So it just gets really complicated if I had to sit down and do all of that math. My Galentine's Day thing that I put on, which is 100% wholesale flowers, it's an event where people get to make a bouquet in February. And, I didn't include any of those sales whatsoever. My Thanksgiving centerpieces in 2023, I used a lot of my own dried flowers. And so I think I counted $20 on the $70 centerpiece, whatever it ended up being. I don't know. I have to look at it specifically. But basically, for the most part, most of my flowers were direct markets flowers in 2023. So that was the one that I used. I think it would have came out almost to a wash in 2024, but it would have been a lot more complicated.
taking a quick break from this episode to talk about invoicing. So I use QuickBooks for my invoicing because it's so easy to just add on the sales tax, take the sales tax away if they're tax exempt. You can choose all of those options. And most of the time in the comment section, I can just click on mail a check or use ACH payment. And that's the options I have for those really, really big purchases or those really, really big sales like brides or when I'm selling wholesale to another florist that has an ST3 form on file. It's just way easier. And then it only takes a 1% fee out if they do the ACH instead of a credit card. So QuickBooks makes it so easy. And I use them for my payroll, my invoicing, my sales tax, everything. There's a reason that QuickBooks will always be my employee of the month, including myself. So head to the episode notes, click the link. You will get 30% off for the first 6 months with my exclusive code. Be sure to use my code rather than just the regular website because this is the best discount you will ever get compared to directly from their website. Thanks.
So the application process, you need to be a registered farm with the FSA. So if you haven't done that already, you absolutely need to do this. If you ever want to apply for a high tunnel grant, anything like that, having your Schedule F, you don't need to be registered with the FSA to have a Schedule F on your taxes. But again, it's if you want any of these assistance programs, you need to be registered. And it's not that hard. Go in, certify everything, and just keep it on the books. But you go in, fill out the application. I had to just sign that, nope, my gross income, my adjusted gross income across all places is not greater than $900,000. You know, those are because there's a lot of misconceptions out there about, you know, your money needs to be from farming. And that's not the case. It just needs to be, you know, in that certain category, which I'm assuming everyone listening is. And it literally, the form took me maybe 10 minutes. This summer, I did certify all of my crops. I went in July and we said, yep, I have a 64th of an acre of snapdragons. I have, you know, 132nd of an acre of, you know, whatever it ended up being. But we did go through and do all of that, which took a really long time. But I had hail damage from my snapdragons. And so we were going to certify my crops, but there was no further hail damage within the county for other producers. So it didn't really end up mattering. But my point is, go in, get registered if you are not already. If you are already registered, this is so easy, so simple. You could just fill it out online. In the episode notes, I have the link to the FSA page, fsa.usda.gov. And then the marketing assistance for specialty crops form will be right on there. Now you will need, if you are saying expected sales for 2025, you are going to need, you know, your farm operating plan. No matter what, you have to fill out the average adjusted gross income certification. All that's saying is you make less than dang near $1 million a year, and then fill all of that out. Now, the part where it gets tricky is you don't need any of the sales receipts, ledgers, income statements, anything like that to apply. But there's a decent chance that this is going to get audited. I do sleep like a baby knowing that everything that I have matches up. If you are in a certain state, if you are in Minnesota, for example, you should be paying sales tax on your flowers. You should be reporting it and paying your sales tax. For me, I now actually have to pay monthly. For some people, it's annually. For me, for a while, it was quarterly. Now it's monthly because my dollar amount is higher in my gross sales, but you should be reporting that. So now if I were to get audited and they look at my 2023 amount, it's actually going to look, the amount that I reported here is going to be less than, you know, my gross sales to the state on my taxes for that year, whatever. But then when you go through and audit it, you know, when I took out, you know, those Galentine's Day things or my book sales or my t-shirt sales, whatever. And for me, it was so easy because I have everything in QuickBooks. However you do things, you need to have it sorted and you really should itemize what it is. Now, if you only sell flowers, for example, no canned goods with your cottage food license in your farm stand, whatever it might be, because you can't report any of that sales. It has to be, you know, the raw food that you grew. If you make, you know, apple pie in a jar or something like that, if you grew those apples, you could probably figure the market's value of those apples, but you can't, you know, if you bought the apples, then that doesn't count. And again, they're going, if you were to get audited, you know, they would look at that like, well, when did you buy these apple trees or whatever it might be. So just honestly, to me, it is just not worth lying about. It's just not worth it. My little conspiracy theory on all of this, and this is completely off the record, and you can call me crazy, and that's fine. But my little conspiracy theory on this is that it's kind of a, I think that there's not going to be a lot of people who do report this because they're not already registered and they're just doing things off the grid for cash anyway. Some of these farm stands, food stands, whatever it might be. And so I think that it's kind of a way for them to be like, well, that's what you get for doing things under the table with cash and not reporting your sales and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Honestly, I'm hoping that's the case, because if it ends up being, you know, because it's tiered how the payouts are. So for example, and it maxes out at 125,000. So there are three categories, everything up, and it's like taxes, right? Like your tax bracket, you know, everything up until $50,000 is taxed at this rate. And then everything between 50,000 and 350,000 for this at least is another range. And then everything above 350,000 is another range. So let's say I did not have $450,000 in sales, but let's say I did. The first 50,000 might be paid out at 50%. And then everything between 50,000 and 350,000 will be 25%. And then everything between 350,000 to that 450 total value, that last 100,000, will be at a 10% range. So you get 50% of this, 25% of this, and 10% of this dollar amount to come up with the whole thing. For me, my reported sales on this, I think, was 99,000. So let's say it's, you know, like my FSA guy, he's like, it could be 10%, it could be 80%. So let's say it is 80%. And again, this is big dollar amount. Like, I'm going to laugh if it ends up being 5%, whatever. But either way, that's still $5,000 at least. But it'll be, you know, that percentage of the first 50,000, and then everything between 50,000 to my 99,000, that last 49,000 will be the next percentage. So it's going to be a tier. So if it's 80%, 50%, 20%, I don't think it's going to be that high as 80%. But anyway, I could potentially be getting $40,000 plus $30,000 or whatever it ends up being. I mean, I could get a check for 70 grand. That would be amazing. We'll see what ends up happening. But I do think that it's something that if you had it on your to-do list to apply for a high tunnel, whatever it might be, you need to get registered with the FSA. Get into your FSA office. This is not due until the 8th. You have time to do this. This is probably, if you look at the amount of time this is going to take you, even if it takes you 8 or 9 hours, even if it takes you 10 hours, when this episode comes out, you've got all day Monday, you've got all day Tuesday, you've got all day Wednesday. If you literally shuffle things around on your calendar and say you were to get $20,000, that's $1,000 an hour. I would say it's worth it to do it. So this is a rare opportunity to receive significant financial support to offset those marketing costs. And it is perfect for specialty crop producers if you're looking to expand your market reach and keeping those expenses managed. It is due by January 8th. Check out the episode notes. If you are needing help with your bookkeeping, or if this sounds absolutely foreign to you, I highly, highly, highly recommend my Foundations of Peddling Perishable Products course. I have given lifetime access to everyone that has purchased it so far. We used to have cohort groups, and now we changed it to a foundations course. And then there's an ongoing private podcast Facebook group. And if I make any new modules or any changes, then you continue to get that access. The lifetime access is actually going to end sometime in 2025. I have a plan for everyone else to be grandfathered in, but after a certain date, you only get access to it for like 6 months, or I don't know what that's going to be, 6 months, a year, something like that. And then it'll be a paid membership to continue. But I am redoing every single module in there from when I started this a year and a half ago. Not that I don't think that it wasn't the best advice I had at the time, but as I continue to learn and grow, I want to pass on that knowledge. So I have a new module that's going to be out here in January. I've talked about it already, but it is on bookkeeping. And I am going to share how I do all of my bookkeeping in QuickBooks. And, you know, it's just easier if you have any employees, if you do invoicing directly on there, if you need to separate the sales tax out. For me, with the state of Minnesota, I used to pay, you know, some people pay annually, some people pay quarterly. I have to actually reconcile. I have to do my sales tax every single month because it's more than $5,000 a month that I do in sales. And so now I have to do that monthly, and there's huge penalties if you don't have it done in time. And if you have multiple points of sales, they talk. So my Venmo, my PayPal, my Square can all get pulled into QuickBooks. Plus I can invoice directly from QuickBooks. So I'm going to teach you guys a little bit about that. Or in that same module, I have a really amazing updated spreadsheet that I have been using personally as my personal budget for the last 4 years since I had to completely take over my finances. And I have modified it to the expense categories match those on the Schedule F for taxes. So you enter your expense every month, you go on this Excel spreadsheet. And again, this is, you don't have to pay for a QuickBooks subscription. And then you enter that item line and then it automatically categorizes it. So then when you give it to your accountant, you're going to save so much money on them. Like, oh, is this in, what category is this in? And then it's a way of, you enter, you know, you enter subscriptions, you enter UPix, you enter whatever for the month, and then it automatically flows within those months, and you can record your revenue, you can record your predicted versus actual. And it's, there's so many formulas. I actually had to have someone with an accounting degree come in and completely redo all of the formulas so that it talks to each other. But again, in that bookkeeping module, I teach you guys how I do that. So if you're needing help with that, that's something that is really, you know, my foundations of PPP. It's not meant to be teaching you how to grow stuff. All of that stuff can be figured out. And I keep updating mine in real time in what works for me. And if you check on our website, sunnymarymeadowcoaching.com, we now have things in tiers for hobby/beginner. And then we have intermediate, which is someone who's running it like an actual business. And then we have specialty and skills to scale for those of you that want to do weddings or maybe start a venue or are trying to, you know, prioritize your time and get time back. And I teach you guys how I use my Calendly and Motion and all of those things for prioritizing tasks and my delegation matrix and all of those things. But anyway, so if you need help with bookkeeping, that is in there. If you have questions, let me know. I will try my best to help. The Foundations of PPP course has a private Facebook group. People have been sending some questions about the mask. I am going to be forwarding within that group the actual flyers that I got from the FSA just so that they can get a little extra boost to get this done. But yeah, let me know if you guys have questions. And yeah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at sunnymarymeadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. sunnymarymeadow.com